What up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the ISC Bengals Show. I am Chris Hasbrock, and I'm your host today. And I am also joined once again by my co-host, Nick Cimino. Nick, my man, how you doing?
Not too bad, Chris. How are we doing?
Well, much better now. I was able to, however, I still couldn't find my headphones, but my AirPods are charged. Should be just enough now to where we should be good to go. So,
All right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this goes. But as always, ISC is presented to you by Dark Hawk Nutrition. Dark Hawk Nutrition is the next evolution in sports supplements. Their protein, creatine, and other products are third party tested for quality and are guaranteed clean. So make sure you use code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. That is code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. Whew. Well, got through that read. Much better All right. than the previous one. Holy cow. Well, Nick, here we are coming out of the bye week for the Cincinnati Bengals, as they went in with a record of 3-3. Based off of how the season started, how's 3-3 looking for you?
Well, considering the season started off 0-2, we're at 3-3 coming out of the bye. No one in our division has truly taken off. I mean, yeah, the Ravens are a 5-2, and I believe both the Steelers and the Browns are both 4-2, correct? Or is that wrong?
I believe
they're both 4-2. I believe the Steelers had a bye, and so is Cleveland. I believe they both had their bye. So considering the fact that every team has two losses, we have three, we're right where we want to be. We're one game back. We started off the season horrible. Those other teams actually started off okay. So I mean, we're right where we need to be. I mean, this is what the Bengals do year after year. We start slow and then we turn it on, and it gave the bye came at the right time, gave Joe an opportunity to take a full 2 weeks off. I mean, after we played, the Seahawks too, last Sunday, he get this week off and then take it easy, pretty much this week. I mean, he doesn't need to go full bore. So this was a great time for him, but also for Orlando Brown Jr., obviously, who was battling a groin injury, who said during an interview yesterday, said that he would definitely be playing on Sunday. He was just taking the yesterday off. So we should expect, hopefully, once tomorrow's injury report comes out, we should expect to see more what's going on with him. But other than that, I mean, we're right where we needed to be. The offense is starting to look better, even though the second half against the Seahawks didn't look great. But the defense played out of their mind against the Seahawks. So, I mean, I can't really ask much for more, but I mean, we're right where we need to be. We're going into a week against, we play San Francisco, and San Francisco is obviously on a 2-game losing streak. And it's starting to look like that teams are starting to essentially figure out the anomaly that was Purdy. So our teams are starting to figure him out now. And he's starting to look like the reason why he was a late 7th round draft pick, mystery relevant.
That is correct. So this episode here, since the Bengals did not have a game, we are going to basically, we're not halfway through the season yet, which is crazy. It's an early bye week for the Bengals. Last couple of years, they've actually had it smack dab right in the middle, which has been perfect. This time it's earlier, so now we have 11 games remaining. So we're not halfway through yet. But let's give grades to the offense, defense, special teams, and coaching for the first 6 games, since, all we can do is grade it off of that coming into the bye. So in terms of the offense, coming into it, we expected a lot, for this team, consistently, over the last couple of years, one of the highest powered offenses in football. What would you say, what's your grade for the offense so far through this first 6 games?
I mean, the offense is next. I'm sure you agree. The offense is the toughest one to grade, just because.
Yes.
With Burrow's injury, so obviously we've had issues there. T. Higgins' injury, we've had issues there. The tight end position definitely hasn't played up to par, which is definitely an anomaly for us. We're just not a tight end team, but overall, I mean, after 6 weeks, I would give us a B- to C+.
Okay, you're a lot more generous.
I'm gonna waver towards a C plus. I'm gonna give us a C plus because the last two games did start to look better. It looked more like the Bengals, especially the first half against the Seahawks and the full game against the Arizona Cardinals. So, I would say a C plus.
I'm gonna go a C minus.
Okay.
Simply because, you know, the health of Joe Burrow has been, you know, the major talking point. Obviously, you know, he goes out, he gets hurt in the first, you know, like the second day of training camp. And then, you know, he signs the big ticket to where, you know, he's getting, you know, $250 million and, you know, that kind of stuff right there. So it's, you know, starting off the season, he was not good. The injury to, you know, the way, you know, he was moving, like his mobility and everything just really hampered the way the Bengals could call the offense. And the offense was not clicking like we expect. However, we did know that that was going to be the case. I just did not think it was going to be this bad. Joe Mixon, you know, he's had one good game, really. He is heavily overworked. Just 6 games in, he is overworked right now. And that is that could be a major problem, which we are going to talk about here coming up, the trade deadline, which is next week. We are going to address that here a little bit. But outside of that, again, Joe Mixon's overworked. Burrow's been injured, maybe. I don't know if he's been hurt, or if he's been nervous based off of what he's felt, you know, with the leg. That's just been in question. The offensive line hasn't been too bad. They have salvaged the grade for him, and Ja'Marr Chase has been Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins injured. Like you said, this is the hardest one to grade. I didn't have high expectations off of what we saw coming out of the first week or two, but it has picked up towards the end, and that has kind of salvaged it. So I'm going to give them a C minus, and I might be gracious and give them a C, depending on how I feel. But right now it's a C minus. So that's what we're looking at. All right, defense.
Defense is a little bit easier to grade. Let's be honest, they've been horrible against the run. They haven't stopped the run whatsoever. Tackling's been a little bit of an issue for the team, except with the exception of a few guys, obviously. So if I have to give them a grade, I mean, I'm gonna stick the same with the offense. Honestly, I mean the defense hasn't been great. I mean yes they won the Seattle game for us. Arizona still moved the ball up and down the field against us. Obviously Tennessee. We made Ryan Tannehill look very good. So I'm going to stick on par with what I did with the offense. I'm going to go C plus.
I'm going B minus to a B.
Okay.
The defense has been, in my opinion, they've been a lot. I give them more props than what you do on this.
Okay.
I just think what we've seen from a Lou Anarumo defense is the bend but don't break aspect with it, because we know Anarumo, he's fine with giving up the yards. It's what happens when you get to the red zone. Now, the Tennessee game was a problem. The Cleveland game was a problem. Outside of that, this team has played very well defensively. Now, the Cleveland game, I kind of want to throw that one out a little bit just because I think it could have been – you know, the offense, obviously, the offense has been the problem here for the Bengals. That is the main reason. The defense does not lose you games.
But let's be like we've always said, regardless if Burrow was healthy or not, that Cleveland game was a loss regardless.
No, you're correct.
Cleveland owns us.
No, they do, but the offense did not make it easy.
No, I mean the two games you're speaking about, the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns, are two teams that have not just good, but great borderline top defensive lines in football. They have guys that are nasty. Cleveland's got Myles Garrett. You know, he was literally a man amongst boys. We saw what he did this past week. He's amazing. He can win games for you. He should be the MVP of the league right now. And then you have Tennessee, who has Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, who's literally, if it wasn't for, you know, Myles Garrett, I mean, he'd probably be the top players in the league too. So It's tough for the Bengals when they, our offensive line's been okay, but when you go up against defensive lines that like that, it's tough. And that's why those scores looked as bad as they did, just because we just couldn't protect Bojo under the time when he needs it. So, but like you said, the defense, I mean, the defense has done what it's supposed to do. You like said, bend but don't break, because we're talking about the defense. Bend but don't break, which has been great. They have given up a lot of rushing yards, which hopefully they can get fixed here shortly. And that's because of poor tackling. I mean, whether it be the defensive line with the poor tackling, because they once they get through and they break to the next level, the linebackers beside, I mean, who am I thinking of here? Jermaine Pratt. He's been a real problem with tackling. Logan Wilson's been amazing. Logan Wilson's always amazing. And then on the back end, Dax Hill's looked phenomenal. And you know how I feel about Nick Scott. And you know how I feel about Nick Scott. Nick Scott's been – he's definitely been a lot worse than he's been better. He's had some okay plays. He's looked okay in some plays and spurts. But for overall-wise, Nick Scott has not looked good. DJ Turner's looked amazing. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He's been playing a lot, and he looks good. Cam Taylor-Britt, love him. He's been outstanding. He looked great against who am I thinking of here? From –
Seattle, DK Metcalf.
Yeah, DK Metcalf looked amazing against DK Metcalf. Simply amazing. And obviously, Chinny's obviously still working back from his injury, but he's looked okay. He's given up a lot of plays. He's given up a few plays here and there, but not to the point where it's been bad. So, I mean, you know, I think that they can get the running issue and tackling issue cleared up, which hopefully they do over the bye week. This defense can go from my C plus to a B plus relatively quickly.
The thing is, you know, the defensive unit, it's just a matter of straightening a couple things up. And that's really it, because, and like you had just talked about, the tackling, yes. Really just kind of cracking down, you know, in the run game, because defensively in the pass game, Cam Taylor-Britt he's elevated himself to the number one corner on this football team.
He's a Pro Bowler, right? I was listening to a couple of them today, a couple of things today. He's a Pro Bowler, and I agree. He's a Pro Bowler, obviously, 100% this year. And I would say, like we talked about Ja'Marr Chase, he's outstanding on offense. And Alex Kappa, Pro Bowler right now, three of them.
Oh, yep. And like you said, and but you know, with Nick Scott, but the rookies are the biggest talking point here for the defense is DJ Turner and Jordan Battle. They have forced Luana Rumo's hand. I talked about it on the last podcast. They have forced Lou's hand to play him, or play them, I should say. Because as we know, Lou Anarumo does not like playing rookie.
Especially on the back end.
Yeah, in the secondary. He does not play rookie in the secondary. They have forced his hand, making them, you know, and giving them playing time. They've played that well.
Yep.
For rookies, that is. It's not, you know, you're not expecting them to come out and be like Von Bell and Jesse Bates, because that's, you know, you're asking a lot. But they have done a very, very good job. And like I said, forcing Lou's hand and giving them playing time. And they have really come through and helped this defense out. So, you know, we're kind of close in terms of the defense on that. But, all right, special teams.
I'm going to give special teams. I would say special teams. I give them an incomplete grade just because it's not fair, because – with Charlie Jones being out, that changes our whole dynamic on the back end with returning punts, because he returned a punch for a touchdown. Who's to say what he would have done if he would have been in these other games? I want to give them an incomplete. Obviously, I mean, if I had to give them a grade right now, I'm going to give them a B, just, you know, straight up B. They haven't been bad. They haven't been great, but they could definitely be better because Charlie Jones isn't there. So I'm going to give them a B, but overall wise, it's an incomplete grade for me because we haven't had Charlie Jones.
I like it. Fair enough, because, you know, I'm right along with you, because I think, too, Brad Robbins has been – he's had his ups and downs.
Definitely a lot of ups and downs.
Because I think there was times that Darren Simmons has literally wanted to choke him because of, you know, what he's been able to – you know, what he's done in the punt game. But he's had good – you know, again, it's so up and down with him. I'm perfectly fine with the incomplete grade because, again, Charlie Jones – not being there has really changed a lot. I'll give you the incomplete. I would completely agree with the B. That's where I'm at as well. I just think this, you know, the injury to Charlie Jones really did change a lot. So, you know, it is what it is. All right. With that being the case, what are we looking at now coaching-wise?
Oh, coaching's difficult just because it's the same issue. Right. It's the same issues we've had last year and the year before. It just seems like our first 15 scripted plays, except against Seattle. I'll take that back. Against Seattle. Seattle was an outlier. But besides that, it seems like our first 15 scripted are always very poor and we don't get anything going until the second half. But honestly, against Seattle, we took it off and we looked really good the first 15, 20 plays, two scoring drives. Even against Arizona, we started off very good. But the play calling's got to change. Sometimes our play calling is very vanilla. It's predictable, and everybody knows what we want to do. So I think sometimes, I think our team would be a lot better if he would be relinquished of the play calling and give it to someone else. But I mean, he wants to stick with it, which is understandable. So it's tough for me to do a grade of this just because I know how much better we could be. I'm going to go with a B minus.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to go just a B. I think, you know, the play calling has been the majority of the issue, but I'm also not going to blast him completely on the play calling part because Zach Taylor, his hands were tied.
Yeah.
Dealing with, you know, Joe Burrow and the calf issue. So you're very limited on what you could do. So I will give them that. So yeah, a B, could be better. Could have been a hell of a lot worse as well. So
with a four grade, I had two C pluses and two Bs. So we're looking at roughly a B minus from me.
That's about where I'm at.
About a B minus for a team.
Yeah. Overall.
This team's a B minus C plus team right now. I mean, they're right there. I mean, they're not, you know, we're not, you know, we're not failing. We're middle of the road and there's definitely room for improvement.
Perfect segue. Man, that was beautiful because that leads me in right to our next point here. Definite improvement is needed. We all know that. The trade deadline is coming up on Halloween. Now, this is something that the Bengals traditionally have not done. They don't make moves at the trade deadline. In fact, let's be real, the NFL doesn't do that. That has changed over the last couple of years where you have seen a lot more teams making moves at or just before the trade deadline. So there are two major issues of need on this team. Tight end and backup running back. With that being the case, what would you like to see the Bengals do forward here in the next week to improve this team as they head on the next 11 games?
Well, I mean, we can stay off the running back for a minute because obviously, I mean, that is needed, yes. But Joe Mixon's still a quality starter. I mean, it's not like he's a bad running back. He's just getting older and obviously he needs assistance. We immediately have to go to the tight end positions. We have to have if we don't have the worst, we must have the one of the top five worst NFL tight end rooms. Led by Irv Smith, which we were all excited about. I mean, he's a guy who was a top-notch player coming out of Alabama. When he was at Alabama coming, we both talked about it. We both wanted the Bengals to draft him.
Yep.
He just hasn't panned out. And I don't know if it's a scheme or a fit. Yes, he was hurt. So, I mean, I'm going to give him a little bit of slack. But even when he wasn't hurt and he's played in the games he's played in, he just doesn't show up. Especially after we had Hayden Hurst last year, who was – So, you know, definitely. I mean, he was a guy who showed a lot of excitement. He was always there. He wanted to be here. He wanted to play here, and he loved every minute of it. And to see Irv Smith is just sort of like go through the motions. It's tough. So, I definitely think they should make him. That's I think the first move they should do there. If I had a crystal ball and I could have a choice, I would say Mike Gesicki from New England or Hunter Henry from New England, and my third choice would be Mo Alie-Cox from Indianapolis.
No, the guy I want is Darren Waller. I've seen a lot of things written about, you know, him being connected with the Bengals, which would be phenomenal. Darren Waller has been, you know, a bright spot for the Giants But again, you are correct on the fact that this, you know, this tight end room has been atrocious, and that has to change. I, for one, said that, I'll be the first to admit it, that, hey, Joe Burrow can make any tight end good. That has not been the case this year because it's just bad. Now, I wanted Michael Mayer.
So did I. We all did.
I even tweeted it out, the welcome to Cincinnati, Michael Mayer, and we draft Miles Murphy. So then thus leading me to a nice WTF, just kidding tweet. That was cool. As you know, a tight end is a quarterback's safety outlet, and they are crucial to any offense. Crucial to any offense. Look at what Joe Burrow had when he was at LSU, when he had Thaddeus Moss. C.J. Uzomah, he elevated C.J. Uzomah, a tight end who is just, let's be real, he's meh. And I like C.J. I wanted them to bring him back. Hayden Hurst. But Hayden Hurst was not just meh. Hayden Hurst is he's a quality tight end. But with that being the case, you have to have, in this offense, you have to have a good quality tight end. That means the Cincinnati Bengals need to make a couple phone calls, and you have to do your damnedest. Duke Tobin, you have to do your damnedest to upgrade the tight end position, plain and simple. Because if you don't, you are doing a disservice to this football team, the fans, yeah, and every single player on that team. You are doing a disservice by not going out and upgrading that position. Plain and simple. Absolutely.
I mean, the room right now is obviously Irv Smith, Drew Sample, who's like we've spoken in the past. He's a great blocker. He really is. He does this. He's just better than most guys in the league does. But that's what he is. He's a blocking tight end. And then you have Mitchell Wilcox, who is a serviceable backup. He's not a guy who's going to wow you. He can go out there and give you plays, but he's not the guy. And then, obviously, on our practice squad, we have Tanner Hudson, who you and I both like a lot. And if they don't make a move, I would like to see him be played more with Joe Burrow because I think he could be talented. But I think they definitely need to make a move. Tanner Hudson is not going to be, he's no Travis Kelce. He's no T.J. Hockenson. He's not one of these guys. We need something with a little more wow factor. I mean, I would love to see Darren Waller, but I was trying to be a little more realistic here, because obviously with New England, they've already said they're willing to give up one or the other. So I mean, I would take Hunter Henry. I would definitely take Gesicki. And if I had my choice, like I said, I like Moyelly Cox a lot. I think he would be a good fit for what we want to do. He's big. He's talented. He'd be a great guy in the red zone.
You are correct, and that's one thing again with this offense, having a quality tight end elevates this offense to the heights that it was the last couple years. That's how good this offense is already. And with a healthy Joe Burrow, that changes everything. And we have that now. He's getting healthy. He's seemingly back to the Joe Burrow. He's about as healthy as he's going to be.
You know what bothers me though about the whole tight end situation is that there was a lot of tight ends in the draft. There really was. Obviously, you know, we talked about Michael Mayer. Obviously, you tweeted it out. We thought he was going to be the guy, and then there was a lot of other guys drafted. I mean, look at Detroit.
Sam LaPorta,
who is an absolute. Who's been amazing for them. Nothing short but amazing. And then obviously, Dalton Kincaid, who's been catching a bunch of balls for Buffalo recently. Amazing. Yes, he was drafted before we had an opportunity, so we can't really count him. But then Green Bay ended up drafting who were the two guys they drafted? The guy from San Jose State. Can't remember what his name is offhand. And the other guy, they drafted two guys. They drafted two tight ends with back-to-back rounds. So the Bengals definitely had their opportunity, but they just didn't see a fit. So, I mean, we didn't draft – even Josh Wiley, who ended up catching a
pass. I was just going to say Josh Wiley was the other one.
Who caught a pass? Yeah, exactly. He caught a pass against us a couple weeks ago. So, I mean – we had our opportunities to get guys out there, but we stuck with our guns, and that's what Zach Taylor likes to do. He likes to stick with his guns. We thought Irv Smith was going to be something, but he just hasn't panned out.
I did hear something interesting today along those lines. It was on Mo Egger. He was talking with Paul Danner Jr. Now, if you know Paul Danner Jr., he covers the Cincinnati Bengals for The Athletic. Paul does a phenomenal job, and – they were talking about, you know, how Joe Burrow needs to basically just kind of voice his opinion on that, of going to the front office and saying, hey, make a move, like help us out here. That goes a long way. When your franchise quarterback goes out and says something like that, like, hey, and then pushes the envelope, hey, you know, that right there, like I said, changes a lot. Hopefully that would be something I would love to see Joe do, because again, that's a game changer there. You know, you go out and say, hey, Duke, make a move, man. Let's go get, you know, yeah, Hunter Henry, or, I mean, a Darren Waller, anybody. I don't really care who, anybody. Go out and get a quality upgrade at the tight end position to help this offense out. That would be a phenomenal move for Joe Burrow to do, and would completely elevate everything here for this team. I mean, that would be, again, a total game changer. Total game changer.
And then so besides tight end, you brought up running back, because yes. Joe's being overworked, and our backups really haven't proven anything. Chris Evans, nah. He's like, he said, meh. You know what I mean? He's okay, you know, but he's nothing great. Travion Williams, he's not really, you know, proved much. And then we drafted Chase Brown, and I'm going to give Chase Brown a little bit of slack. Hasn't played enough to really see what he's truly worth. I like to see him play more. But you are seeing a lot of rumors out there about, you know, the Bengals possibly trading for a running back. And the guy, everyone's thinking that the Bengals should trade for Derrick Henry. But I mean, don't get me wrong, which would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be cool, but not a
chance. But if you trade for Derrick Henry, you're trading Mixon away, because Mixon, if you have Derrick Henry, you don't need Mixon. I mean, that's a plain and simple move. But I mean, the guy you want to see him trade for is, you know, former Bengal out in Denver, so you know, some Samaje Perine, who probably would come back gladly.
Oh, he totally would. Would you rather be here, or would you rather be in Denver?
At this point in time, I'd rather be here.
I'd rather live in Denver, but my God, I'd rather be playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I've said Samaje Perine all along, because again, his familiarity with the offense, he knows his role here, and he succeeded in that role. So, you know what you're getting from Samaje Perine. You know he can do it. And the other name that keeps getting tossed out there is the old running back, formerly of Tampa Bay, who blocked for Tom Brady. You know, now my mind just went completely blank.
Fournette?
Yeah, Leonard Fournette.
They said he was visiting with the Bills, but then the Bills never confirmed it.
They canceled the meeting.
Okay.
So Fournette's still out there. I mean, even if you go and bring in a Leonard Fournette, I'm okay with that, because Fournette is going to give you right now more than what you're getting from the other three running backs we have right now.
True.
He's going to give you that. He can block better than those three guys. And he's going to provide more, you know, more production.
Well, this,
than what
this
you're
is
seeing from those three guys right now.
Well, maybe this is when, obviously, Zeke Elliott obviously visited the Bengals, and we didn't sign him. He did end up signing later with the Patriots. In the past two games, he's actually played halfway decent for the Patriots. And that would have been a good move on our part if we would have signed him.
I mean, I'm not asking us to go out there and get a guy like, you know, Derrick Henry or Bijan Robinson. You don't need a guy to be like that. Yeah, it'd be great if that's what the production ends up being like, but we don't need that. We just need somebody who is a serviceable piece to help shoulder the load from Joe Mixon. That's what you have to have.
Yep.
And if we get that, there we go. And that helps out a lot. And that's what Samaje Perine can do. That's what Leonard Fournette can do. Those are my two options right now. That are the best.
That's what Zach Charbonnet would have been from UCLA, who plays with Seattle.
Yes.
He would have been the perfect. Well. Yeah. That would have been the perfect guy for the Bengals to draft, because look what he does for Ken Walker. You know what I mean? For what he does for Walker. He gives him the breather, comes out, does a certain few plays, and then he comes back. And that's all Mixon needs. He just needs more of a breather. Like I said, he's playing more than he's used to, and he needs some assistance. And Charbonnet would have been that guy. And I'm not saying Chase Brown can't be that guy. We just haven't seen it. And I guess the reason I bring up Charbonnet is because obviously I'm a huge fan of Ken Walker. Definitely a man crush with him. I actually kind of played a buy in a jersey of his, actually. But Charbonnet just spells him, and he does a good job when he spells him. And I like seeing that. It's just such a good thing. You know, even the Browns do it so well with Jerome Ford and, you know, and obviously with Kareem Hunt. And, well, obviously now Jerome Ford being Hunt, so now it'll be Pierre Strong, obviously, and, you know, Kareem Hunt. But it's like, it seems like every team spells each other very well. And we did it last year. It's just that we're not spelling him enough this year.
Exactly. And that is completely overworking him. And that's a problem for a guy who is older. And that's just how it is. He's older. It is what it is.
And here's a guy who's shouldering the load now, and we actually cut his salary.
I know. What are the chances of that?
How's that make him feel now?
And again, that's just something the Cincinnati Bengals have devalued those two positions, the backup running back and tight end. They devalued those positions, and it unfortunately right now is hurting this team. So going out and making a move here by Tuesday, a move or two, you don't have to trade. A trade would be great because you're getting somebody who is currently playing. Or unless, like I said, you get a Leonard Fournette off the scrap heap. But going out and making a move by the trade deadline shows this team, one, that you are in it to win it, and that you will do anything, like I said, that it does take to win. Because right now, this is the best Cincinnati Bengals team on paper that they have had in a long, long, and probably actually ever. I'd be willing to go that far. This is the deepest team, especially that I can remember, and I said it on the preview podcast weeks/months ago, that this is the best Bengals team in terms of positioning, where they are roster-wise and everything like that moving into the season since I can ever remember, and I'm 40 years old.
They're definitely talented. And Chris, you don't know, isn't this the week that Charlie Jones is supposed to be back? I know we're not on Charlie Jones, but isn't this the week he said week 8, correct? This is the week he's supposed to be back, right?
He was doing the light practice / like walkthrough light practice that they had on Monday or okay. Yesterday that was.
Okay.
Because it's the bye week, so they were off.
Yeah.
From what I heard, that he was actually doing part of the walkthrough type
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so yeah, because they when he initially went out, they did see week 8, and this would be week 8. So it'd be nice to see him back. I mean, I have our full arsenal of guys coming back. I mean, I think there's a couple guys that probably won't be back yet. I know they said Akeem Gaither Davis is still working on an injury, which I'm sure he won't be back yet, which obviously is not a huge loss, obviously, for us. I mean, even though he does come in on third downs, which definitely hurts us there. But we have Joe Bashy who covers for that. But like you said, overall, there's an exact point for your thing, Chris, about depth. I mean, there's a guy who plays third downs, and we have a depth piece to cover that, which is amazing.
Exactly. Yep. So here we go. Depth wise, you know, again, making some moves as this team moves forward here in the final 11 games. Now we come out of it, we take on a San Francisco 49ers team. This coming Sunday, October 29th at 4:25 p.m. on
the 4 o'clock. The 4 o'clock start. Your favorite type of game.
Yes, you know what? I'm okay with them if they're away games.
True.
If they're home, I'm a miserable human being, and I'm ready to fight everybody. That's how much I hate 4 o'clock home games. Despise them. But if it's away, I'm okay with it because I'll be watching it at my in-laws and everything like that, or with my parents, or heck, with you. You know, we've done that a couple times. So.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So moving forward here, like I said, we have 11 games left. We have the second hardest schedule remaining in the NFL behind Miami Dolphins. Okay. Real quick, how many games or how many wins does it take for this team to win the division?
7. Oh, to win the division or make the playoffs?
Win the division. How many total wins?
Well, they'd have to win the division. They got to win 9 more games. 9 out of 11. They'd have to go 9-2 down the stretch to win the division, because that would in turn would make us 12. And then obviously 12 and 12, that would make us 12-5.
12-5.
I think 12-5 does it, because I think next time we play Baltimore, I think we beat Baltimore. I really do. We would be, heck, we, we played Baltimore close when we were horrible. We literally barely lost that game. Joe was barely mobile. We barely lost that game. So I think we beat Baltimore next time. That'll give Baltimore another loss. I think next time Baltimore plays Cleveland, they play him in Cleveland. So I think Cleveland will have him there. Baltimore and Pittsburgh always, you know, they haven't even played this year yet, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So they always split. So there's three losses right now there for Baltimore. So they've got the same record as us, essentially. And I'm sure they'll lose them because they always end up losing one game they're not supposed to lose. So I think 12-5 would win this division. Okay. I think you need at least 10 wins to get in the playoffs.
Okay.
We do have a tough schedule. Obviously, I mean, coming right out the bat, we have the 49ers, which look like you and I talked, we did this before the season started. That looked like a daunting task. We were chalking that up as a loss. I think now we're both leaning towards this should be a win. No Deebo Samuel. Obviously he's not going to play that week. Christian McCaffrey's banged up. Brock Purdy is definitely becoming down to earth where he belongs. Obviously even the defense, I mean, if you can hold up their defensive line, which hopefully we can, you could beat them. Their corners aren't that great. Their safeties are average. The other linebackers are very, very good. They're definitely good tackling linebackers. But I think I like our opportunity against San Fran. And then the week after that, we play the Bills. And the Bills, heck, just lost to New England. And then after that, we play who? We play the Texans. Houston. We're playing well, yep. But we're a better team than the Texans. We play the Vikings, which obviously we're better than the Vikings. And then who else? And then we play Baltimore again, I believe it is. But it's like, you know, those are winnable games. I mean, right there. I mean, if you think of it, we can definitely beat San Fran. Buffalo should be a win. Texans probably should be a win as long as Joe's completely healthy. Minnesota should probably be a win, but depending on whether.
No, hold on. So this is our remaining schedule. You had a couple in between there.
Okay.
So we got San Francisco.
Should be a win. I like our chances. So I say one, there's two wins. Okay.
Okay. So San Francisco and Buffalo, we're saying.
Yep.
That is two wins.
Okay. I'm going two wins. Yeah. I'm going two wins now. Yeah.
Houston at home, win. 1 o'clock on Sunday, November 12th.
Win.
Okay, so that's three wins coming out of the bye.
Okay.
I love it. Thursday night football at Baltimore.
We'll win that game.
So you're saying four wins.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a toss-up game for me because it's going to really determine what we look like in the last three games.
Okay.
So I don't want to commit on that one. That's going to be a toss up.
I'm going 4-0 coming out of this break. I'm going 4-0. Okay, keep going.
The mini bye we have, then we're back Sunday the 26th. We got 10 days in between at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
At home?
At home.
We'll win that one. 5-0.
That's an interesting one. Like that
it's at
one,
home though. It's at home.
No, you're right. You're right. It is. That's an interesting one because you don't know what you're getting from Pittsburgh. They've been so toss up. They've been weird.
If Pittsburgh, okay. if the refs would have got the call right against Pittsburgh against the Rams and didn't give, let's be honest, didn't give him that first down and that run there, the Rams would have won that game. So yeah, we'll beat Pittsburgh.
Okay, and then we've got Jacksonville at Jacksonville on Monday Night Football.
That's a loss.
Jacksonville, they're looking pretty good.
No, and the only reason I'm saying this game, that's a loss. I mean, I think we're a better team than Jacksonville, but I think we'll be off a high after beating obviously Baltimore on Thursday night, beating Pittsburgh. You know, we'll be due for a loss, so that'll be a loss. So there's one loss.
Okay, and then Sunday, December 10th, at home against the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, that's an easy win.
Yeah, and then Sunday, December 17th, against the Minnesota Vikings.
That's a win.
Yeah, Sunday, December 23rd at Pittsburgh.
Loss.
4:30 game.
Loss.
Okay. And then we go New Year's Eve at Kansas City.
Loss.
Loss. Yep. And then we finish up at home Sunday, January 7th against the Cleveland Browns.
We'll be Cleveland at home because Joe always wants to beat him at least once. So we'll beat it. We'll be one. So there's three. Like I said, I see three losses down the stretch. So I mean, there's three. So 11-7. 11-6.
Okay.
11-6.
And that's. Yeah, I mean, 10-5 or 10-7, 11-6. Those are perfectly. I mean,
could we beat Pittsburgh both times? Sure. Could we beat Pittsburgh both? Could we beat Pittsburgh both times and beat Jacksonville? Could we beat Pittsburgh both times or maybe lose? You know what I mean? And then obviously the Jacksonville game. The Jacksonville game could go either way. I mean, it really could.
That's really the two games are the, to me, like the two toss-up games are Baltimore and Jacksonville. Those are both primetime games. Those are the two that are really they're definite toss-up ones for me.
But the Bills games are primetime game too, but the Bills have proved nothing to me.
Don't scare me at all. They not don't anymore. Scare me one bit.
They're totally like different. You want to know why they struggle now? As the defense is an issue now, because obviously without who's their linebacker that's out now? Oh, Matt Milano. Without him, they're horrible. Without him,
yeah, and it's they've hit that point to where, and again, I've said it before about Josh Allen. You know me. I am a huge Josh Allen guy, but I mean, man, he's proven to me that he's really good, but he's overhyped. And he just makes
too many bad decisions. He's almost turning into Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield at me.
No, that
I know he's not that bad, but he sometimes makes those decisions that those guys do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't have that.
No, so, especially for a guy a few weeks ago they were saying was possible MVP candidate.
And he's slowly coming back to earth there. So, I mean, yep. It is what it is. But, well, Nick, I that's all I've got here, I think, for this episode. What about you? You got anything else?
No, I think we covered everything we intended to. I think that was good.
Yeah, there we go. So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. As always, make sure you guys check us out online at www.iscincy.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter/X. At ISCincy, at I am Chris Asbrock, and at CincyZZ. As always, thank you guys so much for your support. Again, tell everybody about it, and make sure you come back next week as we will be doing – wow, I just like stumbled upon that one. As we are going to be coming back and discussing the Bengals 49ers game that is coming up this week. Again, the first game out of the bye week for the Cincinnati Bengals. So make sure you come back and check us out for that. And maybe
for that game, what we could try to do for that game, that podcast, maybe we could try to get Scott, obviously being a 49er fan. Maybe we can try to get him on.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great.
I'm sure he'd be down for that. I'm sure we could convince him to do it.
Yeah, a little cross promotion there. We can pump his tires a little bit, and we'll go back and forth. I like that. We'll check and see if we can do that.
Sounds perfect. Good.
All righty, my man. Well, thank you so much as always. Again, thank you guys. And make sure you guys, like I said, check us out and follow us and everything like that. And other than that, you guys, thank you so much and have yourselves a fantastic rest of your week. Take care, everybody.